Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. The Chiefs are one victory away from the Super Bowl. And to talk about that with us is one of the greats. Now, he came on last week. The Chiefs won, so we got to keep doing it. And hopefully we'll have him on the week of the Super Bowl. And so the Chiefs win that, too. So we got to keep the good vibes rolling with Daron Cherry. Daron, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Stephen. Good morning.
It is a good morning because just a few more mornings, and then we will be ready for Arrowhead Stadium hosting the AFC Championship game again. But before we get into that, I wanted to ask you about the surprising retirement of Luke Kuechly, who is he's one of the best defensive players in football, former Defensive Player of the Year, multi-time Pro Bowler and All-Pro, just 28 years old. And he released a video last night on the Panthers website, basically, it was very difficult for him. He was in tears. And he said that, just paraphrasing here, that you've got to play this game fast and you got to play this game a certain way. And he doesn't feel like at this point he can do it anymore. I'm just curious what your reaction is when you see a great player like Luke Kuechly at 28 years old deciding to retire from the NFL.
Well, I can understand what he's feeling. You know, when you get into the situation in the NFL, you know, when you give it your all and you're working hard every year, year in and year out, it takes a toll on you, not just physically, but mentally as well. And I think he's gotten to a point where I think he feels like he's given it all he can give at this point in his life. I think he's a smart enough guy that he has a future outside of football. And the fact that he's making that decision on his own speaks that he's taking this seriously and he's put a lot of thought into it. You don't always know when your time is up, but guys who spend the time to think about what they're capable of doing after their career is over, it makes that decision a lot more easier when you've had an opportunity to reflect.
I mean, you had played for 10 years. You were 32 years old during your last season. How difficult was it for you when you're, you know, in your early 30s and football ended for you?
Well, it wasn't difficult for me because I had always been planning my future outside of football, so it was an easy decision when that time came for me to make that decision because I had something else that I was moving into, my Anheuser-Busch distributorship. So for me, it was easy, and the fact that I wanted to be able to make that decision on my own. I didn't want, you know, Marty Schottenheimer coming up to me saying, "Hey, kid, I think you ought to retire." No, you're not going to make that decision. I'm going to make that decision for me. So you prepare yourself. You know, and the other thing that could factor into this is, you know, they've got a new coaching change. It's a college coach. And do you want to go through that starting basically on ground zero, and go through that again? I'm not sure he had, you know, he probably thought about that as well.
It is a different time, though, isn't it, Daron? I mean, somebody walking away when you were playing after an 8-year career as successful as he's been is something that you just didn't see, but it's becoming more and more prevalent in today's NFL. Guys are making enough money, too, that they, if they are taking care of it, they can walk away without even having to have something lined up necessarily after that. You think we're going to see more and more of this as time goes on?
Absolutely. I think when it comes to your health and your longevity and you've got a family and you've got kids that you want to be able to play with later on in your life and be able to talk to them and have, you know, all your faculty with you, I think it's important that a lot of these guys will make some smart decisions. Now, he's not the first. I mean,
yep.
We saw Oliver Luck do it, you know, for whatever reason he decided to do it. You know, it's one of those things that you take seriously and you think about it, but I don't think, you know, you're going to start to see a lot more players because there is so much money in the game right now. And, you know, after two contracts, some of these guys are set up for the rest of their life. So.
And you're right because, I mean, you know, Luck is one of the best quarterbacks in football. And he retires, you know, before the age of 30. And then, you know, even Rob Gronkowski, he hangs it up before the age of 30. Mm-hmm. And here's Luke Kuechly at 28 years old. You're talking about three of the best players at their position of their generation, all hanging it up before the age of 30 years old. And when someone like that, it seems like when the first guy does it, then it blazes that trail for other players at that age to look, hey, if they did it, they've taken care of their money, or as Marshawn Lynch said, taking care of their chicken, and they're good. Then why not leave with millions in the bank and your health and the ability to enjoy that and enjoy your family for the rest of your life?
Yeah, I think it's no fun as you get into your older years, and you know the game has taken a toll on you physically, and you know you hope that mentally you're stable and that you don't have any issues. Now, we don't know the extent. I'm sure he's had some concussions in his career, and I'm sure that probably could have been a factor that, you know, he wanted to make sure that longevity-wise that, you know, he could still, you know, live his life to the fullest as he gets into his later years. But I think you're going to see a lot more guys, you know, look at that very seriously and take in consideration that, you know, this is only a short time that we get to play this game, and, you know, I still have the rest of my life to be a productive citizen in this country.
We're visiting with one of the all-time great Chiefs, Daron Cherry, and let's talk about that unforgettable game on Sunday now. Daron, at what point in that game, after the Chiefs had fallen down 24-0, at what point during the comeback did you think, man, the Chiefs are going to come back and win this game?
Well, I think for me it was a sequence of events. I think it was the you know, the fake punt, you know, stopping that, and I'm going like, why did he do that? You know, that was my first response, was why did he do that? And what an unbelievable play. I mean, to me, when you go back, this team gets to the Super Bowl and wins it, I'm going to look at Daniel Sorensen and say that was the play that really made the difference in the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl and winning it, because that changed the whole complexion of the game. They go down and they score. Then right after that, there's the kickoff return and the fumble, and they score again. I said it was over then. I mean, you're down 24-0 in the first quarter, and you come back, and those things fall in place. I've been on the other side of those games late in the game. You know, especially out in Denver with Elway, where we'd be up by two touchdowns or more, and here it comes back, and all of a sudden they get that momentum. And once you get that momentum, it's hard to stop. And that's what we saw on Sunday.
So you bring up a great point, because that's what I related it to. You know, having been a lifelong Chiefs fan, being on the other end of that, and for players and coaches and fans, that's a helpless feeling when you have a great quarterback that's on fire, and it's almost there's nothing you could do. I always remember that playoff game between Denver and the Oilers when Elway was bringing them back, and there was one point, I think, on a fourth down, he scrambled and got a first down, and then you see that shot of Warren Moon like knocking over some cups of Gatorade because he knew, and there's just nothing you can do. And there was one point when I think it was the touchdown that made it 24-21, And Mahomes is going crazy. The Chiefs sideline is going crazy. Then you look at a shot of Deshaun Watson and some of the Texans players, and it looked like the game was over. You just know. And there's that, and so you describe it well, being on the other side of that, when Elway would have the ball, and even though you had a lead, it's like, you know, what the hell? It's just, he would take over, and that's the way Mahomes is now, right?
Right. Well, Stephen, I've said this to a bunch of my friends that have called and said, can you believe that? And I'm saying, this is the first time where we have that guy, you know? In the past, we've never had that guy. You know, other teams have had that guy. Now we have that guy in Patrick Mahomes. And when you have that talent, a special talent like that, and a quarterback who's a leader, but his skill set, I mean, he can do everything. I mean, the fact that you look at his what he's capable of doing with his arm, you know, 3rd and 19 is like 3rd and 5 to him, you know, because he's able to fit it into tight spots because his arm is so strong. And you got a guy like that, it's infectious. And all of a sudden now, you talk about the great players who are able to, you know, engage their teammates to go to a different level, regardless of what the outcome is at first, but is able to get those guys going because he's able to make plays like he did on Sunday. I mean, that speaks volumes for your team. You have that belief and confidence that no matter how far you're down, you're capable of coming back with that guy under the center.
You know, good God, I hate bringing up Elway any more than I already have, but it reminded me, I remember being at a game at Arrowhead. It was a regular season game, and there was a play where, I mean, I was sure, everyone was sure that Elway had crossed the line of scrimmage, and they looked at it, and he didn't, and it just drives you crazy. And I was thinking about that when Mahomes made that play where he had kind of that shot put to Kelce for the touchdown, and with the naked eye, you're thinking, there's no way he didn't pass the line. But he had enough sense about him to drag his foot like he was trying to stay in bounds, but knowing that just any part of his body behind the line of scrimmage means the pass was good. I mean, if you're a safety, if you're a guy, you know, with your assignment, doing what you're supposed to do, that's like just indefensible. You can't do anything about that with his mobility. And just as he's crossing the line of scrimmage, you think he's going to run, drags his foot, throws that ball from a weird angle. And even if you play the play perfectly as a defensive back or whatever, what the hell can you do? It's like demoralizing for a defensive player, right?
Well, yeah, it is demoralizing. You know, normally you understand, you know a quarterback very well. You go into a game and you go, okay, this quarterback is the type of quarterback, when he scrambles, he's scrambling to run. So you know you've got an opportunity to go after him. Then you got another quarterback. Oh, this is the quarterback. When he scrambles, he's scrambling to pass. That's Mahomes. You can't judge him on that because he'll scramble to run, he'll scramble to pass. And that puts the defense in a real uncompromising situation. So when you have a quarterback that's versatile and can do what he's capable of doing, whether he's running or whether he's passing out of the pocket, it's you're caught between a rock and a hard place with him.
So let's move from the quarterback to the safety position, a position you know well, Deron. We talked a lot last week before the game about how the Chiefs were going to cover the loss of Juan Thornhill. What did you think of the way they covered the loss of Juan Thornhill in that game against the Texans?
I think they did good. The one thing that I think that people don't realize, what they didn't do was put Tyrann Mathieu in a situation where he had to take over for Thornhill. They kept him in his normal position and let him do what he does best. And then, you know, they had Sorensen, they had Fenton back there. So they were able to utilize both those safeties, the backup safeties, but left Tyrann where he was capable of making a lot of plays. And I think that was really the biggest decision that Spagnuolo made in the game.
Okay, so Deron, everyone's talking about Derrick Henry with good reason. He's the first NFL running back to have at least 180 yards in 3 consecutive games. He had over 180 yards the first time around against the Chiefs. But the Chiefs still should have won that football game. And if the Chiefs go out and score like they did against the Houston Texans and are scoring touchdowns in the red zone instead of field goals, it's not going to matter because the Titans are not going to be able to outscore the Chiefs. But for you, what should be the defensive approach, the mentality in facing this Tennessee Titans offense led by Derrick Henry on Sunday?
Well, like I say, you got to bring your big boy pants this week because this guy is legitimate I mean, it reminds me a lot of when Christian Okoye first came into the league, and, you know, you got a 300-pound back, basically, with all his pads on, running 4.5 in the 40, coming through that hole. I mean, you don't want to tackle him. And that's what you saw the last couple weeks with Henry. I mean, you got you. If you watch the Ravens game, towards the end of the game, those guys didn't want to hit him. He was picking up yards like you couldn't believe because he's as you down. The mentality has to be that we're going to stop him at no cost. He's not going to beat us. If anybody's going to beat you, you're going to have to make Ryan Tannehill beat you in this game. Derrick Henry will not beat me. And that's the mentality you have to have. So you got to stop the run, put the emphasis on the run, because everything that Tannehill does as a quarterback really is based off of Henry being successful running the football, because they run a lot of play action. And they also, what they like to do, and especially against the Chiefs with their offense, you know, he's going to come in and want to try to shorten the game up as much as possible. And how do you shorten the game up? You run the football. So you got to be successful on first down, second down, stopping the run, and force the quarterback to beat you by throwing the ball. That's what they're going to have to do on Sunday to win the game.
That almost sounds like the recipe that the Chiefs used to have to follow under Marty when they were in the playoffs. You knew they were going to be facing usually the better quarterback, whether it was Marino or Elway or Jim Kelly, and the Chiefs were going to have a physical defense, a really good run game, and they were going to want to shorten the game. And a lot of the passing was predicated on success of the run game and play action passes. And so, I mean, and you know what that's like, because everything has to go really perfectly for you to compete against a guy like Mahomes and beat him. Whereas the Chiefs, there's a bunch of different ways this thing could go, and the Chiefs could still overcome it and win because they're so dynamic. It kind of reminds you of what the Chiefs used to face when they used to have to go up against elite quarterbacks back in the 90s, right?
That's right. You know, you think about how you prepare for games like this, and, you know, the mentality is, hey, we got to get turnovers. That's important. But Tennessee is a team that they don't turn the ball over very much. So, you know, you're going to have to create turnovers. You're going to have to start ripping at the ball, especially with Henry. Whoever gets there first has to secure the tackle, and then you got to get a bunch of guys coming to the ball and helping out. That's how you defend against a guy like that, because he's so big and he's so strong, one guy is not going to bring him down. So it's got to be a collective effort out there on Sunday. But I think if they're able to make that team one-dimensional, and what I mean by that, you stop the run and you force Tannehill to have to beat you with the pass, I like my chances of winning the game when that scenario plays out.
We're visiting with Chiefs legend Daron Cherry as the Chiefs get ready for the AFC Championship game for the second year in a row. And one of the things that that we see is Mike Vrabel as the head coach of the Titans through these first two playoff games. He's taken down Bill Belichick and then John Harbaugh. And he's completely changed what that team did defensively based on the opponent. They played two very different quarterbacks between Tom Brady and Lamar Jackson, and they did something completely different defensively from one game to the next. What would you be most worried about if you're the Chiefs in terms of whatever defensive look the Titans are going to give them this time around?
Yeah, the only thing that I worry about with the Chiefs is, can we get enough possessions to keep the pressure on their defense? Because I think if we get a number of possessions on offense and we're able to hold the ball and drive the ball down the field and score touchdowns, you know, you open up that defense. They can't do what they want to do. I think they're going to come in with the same philosophy that most teams that play us do, and that is they're going to probably double Tyreek because they don't want to get the big play on him. And that's going to leave, you know, they may even try to double Kelce. They're going to try to force you, knowing Vrabel, they're going to try to force you to have somebody beat you, somebody else other than Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
And, you know, they could double Kelce all they want. Texans tried too, and that didn't work either. So maybe, you know, maybe there's no solution for Travis Kelce.
No, and that's the thing with the Chiefs. They have so many weapons that they can utilize that makes it hard on a defense. So you're going to have to pick your poison. And, you know, I think the good thing is that, you know, these two teams played earlier. So you're going to go back and look at the film, because whatever was successful in the first game, they're going to still try to do that to this football team. The one thing is that, you know, our defense wasn't really sound against the run early in the year, and now we've kind of buttoned it up a little bit more to be a little bit more of a challenge for the Titans, I think, this time around.
Where are you going to watch the game at?
I'll be at the stadium. You know I'm not going to miss that.
So what will your emotions be like on the, being so close last year and you know loving Kansas City and this organization the way you do? I mean, that's got to be an emotional day for you to think that maybe, just maybe, this is finally the day where they get to the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years.
Absolutely. You're nervous. I mean, it's going to be a nervous week because the closer you get to Sunday, the more your nerves get because, you know, they are playing against a good football team. You know, you don't beat the teams that they've beaten to get to this point to put themselves in a position to go to the Super Bowl without having talent and playing together. You know, you get a hot team. I remember this. We got to the AFC Championship game when I was in Jacksonville, and we had to play the Titans at our place, and they came into Jacksonville and, you know, and won the game. And, you know, so you think about those things, and you hope that that doesn't happen. You know, you hope that everybody's ready to go and focuses. I mean, you don't get these opportunities too often. Fortunate enough, you know, we've been in a position the last 2 years to be in a position to go to the Super Bowl. And I think, you know, that's the thing. This game is the hardest game because, you know, when you get, it's hard to get there. You know, you've got so much anxiety. You want to make sure that you're ready to go. But it's tough, and this is the biggest game of those players' career right now to get themselves to go to the Super Bowl.
Hey, Jerron, before we let you go, I'm just curious, what was your reaction to see your former defensive coordinator in Kansas City, Bill Cowher, get the nod for the Hall of Fame?
I think it's great. Anybody that gets an opportunity to go into the Hall of Fame, it's quite an honor. And, you know, Bill, he was a great coach when he was here in Kansas City. I mean, I was fortunate enough to play with, you know, to have Bill Cowher coach me, to have another Hall of Famer and Tony Dungy coach me. So I'm happy for both of those guys. They deserve it. When you put in the time and you have a successful career and you win that ultimate game, you know, you deserve to, you know, to be honored in that way. So I'm happy for him. He's a good guy.
There's a lot of people that have spent time in this Chiefs organization. They're going to be hopefully celebrating on Sunday if they can get over the hump and get to the Super Bowl. And you just named a couple of them. I know you're going to be thrilled. And Deron, have a great day out at Arrowhead on Sunday. Hopefully I bump into you, and hopefully we'll be celebrating after the game.
Absolutely.
That's right.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Deron.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
That's Deron Cherry. He's great. On the field, off the field, whatever. Whatever you want. So.
He's amazing. He is, I think about guys like that I feel like deserved to get the chance to be in a game like this.
Albert Lewis, Kevin Ross.
There are so many Chiefs players over the years that were good enough to play in a Super Bowl. And
Derry Thomas.
The tough part is
Dino Hackett.
It's a 53-man roster. You
Dan Celiamua.
Yeah. You can be that type of player, and it just never comes together through no fault of your own.
Stephon Page.
Carlos Carson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dale Carter. He played. Did he play in one for somebody?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about
that. He didn't play for the Chiefs.
Yeah, right. That's all I'm concerned with.
So many good players that deserve a chance. I think
Lloyd Burris.
How excited they must be.
Jake's excited.
Woo!
We will.
Are you?
Almost as excited as the sales staff is to see there's free food over here that's not meant for them. But other than that, it's fine. Now, you're lucky I saved your spicy chicken bites,
right?
Or they would have been gone.
Oh, I know.
Now, see, who was thinking about you?
You?
I mean, you know.
My
guys? Nate didn't take that in.
No, you did.
Oh, I thought Jake didn't want any because he's on a cleanse right now. So
he saved it for
spicy
tomorrow.
Spicy chicken bites for tomorrow, so I saved him some.
Cleanse is over tomorrow.
It's 3 day.
It's time to start dirtying that body up again.
Today's day three.
Clean that ass out.
Well,
get ready.
There's some
chicken.
Grilled chicken.
Hey, Nate went through a cleanse during the Matt Derrick segment.
Oh, yeah.
Possible.
Darn right I did.
He feels good. He's refreshed. Back after this, we wrap things up on WHP.